revival. I've been wanting something fresh, something real and powerful and genuine from the hand of Almighty God. You know what will change America? We've tried the Republicans, we've tried the Democrats, but what will really change America is a revival. God, amen? What will change our world is an old-fashioned, devil-chasing, blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled, miracle-working, heaven-long revival. Can you say amen tonight? Now, we talk about revival, and in these three messages, I've been looking at the life of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I've been looking at revival from the perspective of Isaac. You remember Isaac was the son of Abraham. And so I know that really we're in the fourth generation of Pentecost. If you go all the way back to William Seymour, where you can go all the way back to Upper Room, but it revived really in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And then you had the 50s with Oral Roberts, and then the 70s with the charismatic renewal. So we're on down into the generations. But what we see in Isaac is what we need to see really in every generation. And that is a fresh move of the Lord. Abraham had an experience with God, walked with God, saw miracles of God, and then his son, you didn't see a lot until he did three things, and you see mighty things in that generation. I want to see mighty things in the millennial generation, in the X generation, that's my generation, in the Z. I want to see revival and restoration and renewal in every generation. Can you say amen? He did three major things, and we'll cover those tonight because I've kind of scattered these messages along here. But let's look tonight in Genesis chapter 24, verses 62 through 67. Would you stand with me? And I'm not sure if we're going to have it on the overhead tonight or not. And I promise you, Isaac didn't have an overhead transparency system, and he still had revival, so we can have revival without an overhead transparency system. Amen. Genesis chapter 24, verse 62. If you're there, I'm going to let you get to time, you're going to have to hold your Bible. You're going to have to get your Bible out tonight. Genesis 24 and 62. If you're there, say amen. Amen. It's always good to see Pastor R.L. Downing. You're pastoring, aren't you, my brother? Ebenezer, Pentecostal Holiness Church of the Living God, of the Apostolic Faith, of the First Apostles from the Upper Room. Is that your church, brother? Amen. Ebenezer, Pentecostal Holiness Church in First Street in Nashville, North Carolina. Amen. And that is Nelms country up there. There's a lot of Nelmses up there. So I know you got a hard work to do up there, brother. I know them Nelmses up there. That's actually a set of Nelmses, not close related. My set of Nelmses is Rocky Mount, but we all related back up yonder somewhere. But it's good to have you and your wife here tonight. Always good to see you. Genesis chapter 24, verse 62. If you're there, say amen. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi, and he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field. And in evening tide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field?" Somebody say, "In the field," to meet us. And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And that's something you need to teach your teenagers and your young ladies. They need to cover themselves. They're more attractive by covering themselves than by uncovering and showing everything. That's something you ladies need to teach. But it will work to get the right man. You want your daughter and granddaughter to get an Isaac, don't you? You don't want them to get Sloppy Joe over here, do you? You want some quality. So just tell them to cover themselves. They don't have to dress like an old-fashioned maid. Or dress like granny dresses, but there is a way to cover yourself godly in this. I had no idea I was going to say this. I don't have no idea why, because all of y'all are 70 years old and happily married. Amen. Just in case you've got children and grandchildren, these we can learn from these scriptures. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Verse 67, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Go back to verse 63, and Isaac went out to pray or meditate in the field. Father, tonight, give us revival. Give us a fresh touch. Lord, I just want to add into what the pastor is praying and what the pastor is saying, and throw another log into the fire that you're burning and building here at Westmoreland. And we thank you, God, for what America needs. And what we need is an old-fashioned move of God. And Lord, teach us tonight from the life of Isaac, and we'll give you praise for what we're praying for in the field. In Jesus' name, we're going to see it. And everybody said, before you're seated, tell somebody you're going to see it. Amen. You're going to see it. Amen. Glory. I said glory. Tell them again. You're going to see it. Amen. Now, to walk you back through three major events in the life of Isaac changed everything. One of the major events, and I'm going to take a little extra time. I don't want to re-preach the sermons, but since it's been so many weeks, one of those was he unstopped the whales. Say that with me. He unstopped the whale. Genesis 26 and 17. If you want to glance there, I'm not going to give you time to find it. So you better be in Genesis, because we'll take a 30 minute sermon, make it to an hour and 30 minutes because I got a lot of scriptures. But Genesis chapter 26 verse 17, and Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And I told you that there are valley seasons in our life. And Isaac digged again the well. Is it there? I see it back there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water that they digged in the days of Abraham, his father. Stop right there. Abraham, his father, had dug some very important wells. Wells were important in those days. They're important today. And they speak of the moving and flowing of the Spirit of God. I can tie into John chapter 7, for out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And all of those things. But Isaac had to dig those wells again. And verse 19 of Genesis 26, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Notice it said Isaac's servants digged in the valley. Let me tell you something. Revival is not a one-man show. Can I get an amen out there? You used to be all about one big name evangelist, one big name. Let me tell you something. It's not just the pastor or the associate pastor. We got to have some servant spirits that are... You know, digging's not fun. Can I get a witness out there? I mean, come on now. We're talking about shovel. We're talking about dirt. We're talking about debris. But if we can have some servant spirits again, who don't care about title or fame or who gets the credit, but will say, Pastor, we're here as servants of the Lord. We're going to dig again those old wells of Pentecost, and we want to see that life-giving, living water flow. Thank God for what He's doing, and we need it. Amen. Somebody say revival is needed. I gave you four reasons. Revival is needed because of the wickedness of the world. This world, this is Pride Month. Have you noticed that? Every Facebook post from corporate America where you're paying for services is supporting that wickedness of the world. And there's also the lateness of the hour. We are literally on the footsteps of the coming of the Antichrist. I was in a meeting in South Carolina just a few weeks ago, and we were in discussion. And my understanding is that there's a leader that, and they say this, with a grain of salt. They said this might not be the person. We won't really know, but there is a leader that has never before fit the profile of what the Antichrist description is, that is on the scene now. It is the wickedness of the world, the lateness of the hour, the lostness of souls, and the lukewarmness of the church. You know, the church by and large has been lukewarm. We've had people that preachers, I'm talking about pastors, who would get up and say, we're not going to have church. You stay home and we'll pipe it in through live stream. Let me tell you something. The Bible never says to sit at home and pipe it through live stream, because it didn't have live stream in the Bible, did they? The Bible says assemble yourselves together. And I want you to understand something. We need to be safe. And if there's 4 inches of ice on the road, we are also to have wisdom and not to endanger life and limb. And people, God is about pulling the donkey out of the ditch. He's about curing the man with the withered hand. He cares about our bodies. Yes, there might be times we need to shut down for hurricanes and ice storms. That is proper. That is wise. But never are we to shut down for a lengthy period of time where we don't know, and we just going to stay home because of something out there. My friend, that we never should ever again. If they close Walmart, we'll talk about it. When they close the ABC store, we'll have some discussions about it. Until then, we're going to dig those old wells. People are lost, and the church is lukewarm. You know, the church being lukewarm reminded me about the New Year's Day parade and the Tournament of Roses. This happened many years ago, and they, you know, they had those floats going down, and one of the floats gave out of gas and stopped in the middle of the parade, and it stopped the whole Tournament of Roses. You know who sponsored that float? Standard Oil. Oh my goodness, of all the people, their float shouldn't have run out of gas. But my friends, of all places during this pandemic, we should never run out of gas. We should never run out of the moving of the oil of the Spirit. We shouldn't be saying, we'll comply and shut down. We should be like, nope, Governor, how much longer? Because it ain't going to be much longer. We're going to be coming back to church despite the consequences. If we get sick, we get sick. If we get arrested, we get arrested. Because let me tell you something. We have a higher authority. His name is Jesus. We respect authority. We respect governors. We pray for them. We cooperate with them. But they cannot shut down the church. Can somebody say, it's not their right. It's not their right to shut it down. And it's not your right to sit at home and say, I'm not going. Ooh, it got quiet there. Ooh, Pastor, you're back from vacation. You're here to take all the flack. Amen. I don't know what you faced when you came back and some of the things I said last Sunday on hell. But I'm just telling you, people say, well, I'm just not going to go to church. I'm just going to stay home. And I would agree with that, or I would believe in you if I didn't see you. What are you going to do when you run out of bread and milk and eggs? Where are you going to go? Well, I guess you can get an app and get them to bring it to you. But listen, let me tell you something. Thank God for live stream. Thank God for all of that. But it is never to replace the in-house coming together of people. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go on and get out there. You cannot really, really, truly get in the spirit of a service on a live stream computer. Now, you can watch it. You can get a blessing. But I promise you, you're Facebooking over here. You're looking at the clock over there. And some of you do it in the church anyway. Can I get a witness? But let me tell you, it is time to undig the wells. Amen. How do we unstop the wells? Prayer, fasting, holiness, the power of God, old-fashioned preaching. What clogs up the well? Bitterness, unforgiveness, discord, joylessness, apathy. I preached all that 3 weeks ago. If you want to hear it, go get it and unstop those wells and let the water flow in your life. And everybody said amen. He unstopped the wells. Say he unstopped the wells. And then secondly, he sowed in the land. Genesis 26, 1 through 6, and there was a famine in the land. Now, the first thing is we were in a valley. Second phase is we're in a famine. People are waiting for the right circumstances, and then God will bless. He doesn't send us to plush, polished, pampered places. He sends us to valleys sometimes. He sends us to dry places sometimes, to valley of dry bones and places where there's famine in the land. There was a famine in the land. My friend, there is a famine in the land tonight. Besides the famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of Philistines, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. And by the way, I told you that Abraham, when he had a famine in the land, he just went down to Egypt. But according to this scripture, Isaac actually prayed before he went down to Egypt. So he learned from his father's mistakes. Let me tell you something. It's one thing to make a mistake. It's a better thing to learn from somebody else's mistake. Amen. Some of you think you know everything. Amen. Ask advice. Seek counsel. Find the mind of the Lord. Don't just make sudden moves. Don't just say, well, it makes sense. You know, there's a famine in the land. Let's go down there to Egypt. No. Never. God never told Abraham to do that and made a big mistake. And Isaac thanked the Lord. Said, I'm gonna not fall into that. Lord, you know it's a famine. Can you imagine that prayer? Lord, it's a famine in this land. Lord, I'm pastoring this church. and those, I got five deacons and four of them don't like me. Come on now. And the other one, likes me, but, you know, he's outnumbered. You know, Lord, you know, there's a famine in the land. You know, somebody won't speak to me. You know, there's a famine in the land. You know what we say when we pray. Lord, I've got more month than money. And you're talking to pastor every time I get up there. He talks about tithe, 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 tithe. And, Lord, there's a famine in the land. Let me tell you, God knows when there's a famine in the land. And what did God tell Isaac to do? Stay. Stay and sow. I'm coming, brother. Stay. You got to stay first. Amen. The grass looks greener on the other side. And I'll just tell you, sometimes you got to stay. Amen. You got to stay where you are. You got to stay, and you got to stay in the famine, because God ain't finished. God wants to bless. God wants to show himself mighty. God wants to send revival. And we've got to be planted in the house of the Lord. Quit running around church to church, here and there and yonder, and looking for this and looking for that. Find a place, get plugged in. And then let God be God, and let his enemies be scattered, because he wants to send revival, and we need to stay where we are. And then we need to sow in the land. Come on now, somebody say sow. Isaac unstopped the wells, and he sowed in the land. Same thing. The same thing with unstopping the wells. When you sow, you got to dig a little dirt out. Amen. You got to plant some seed. You got to get involved. Somebody say get involved. Well, I'm 70 years old. Really? Well, Abraham was 80. I mean, Moses was 80 when he got started good. Right? Amen. Can I get a witness out there? Hallelujah. I'm on Medicaid. Well, just praise God for Medicaid and keep on sowing. Amen. I'm on a fixed income. Well, the way you're going is going to break it. What'll fix it is trusting God and sowing in the land. Can I get a witness out there? Oh, sow in the land. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and bless thee. For unto thee and to thy seed I will give these countries, and I'll perform. Somebody say he'll perform it. The oath which I gave unto thy father. Amen. God's about to perform some things. It was dry and barren. Look at Genesis 26 and 12. And then Isaac sowed in that land. Somebody say, in that land. And this land is your land. This land is my land. And received in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord a hundredfold. My goodness. You ain't going to find that down in Egypt. Amen. But there's a famine in the land. But let me tell you something. Westmoreland has been blessed in the pandemic. I've been blessed in the pandemic. When I resigned my church in 2015, I had to resign it. Didn't want to. Circumstances forced me to move. I didn't have a house. Didn't have a job. My wife didn't have a job at the time. And I'm like, my goodness, what's going to happen now? And so... I decided we resigned on August the 9th, my birthday, 2015. And we went out on a high note, and God allowed me to be gracious to the people, because it came a point where the church had been hurt before I even got there, and hurting people hurt people. And I made some mistakes as well. I own up to it, confess it, see it, blind, you know, hindsight is 20/20. And all God's people said, oh me, and amen. I'll be honest with you. August the 9th, I didn't know where I was going, what I was going to do. And August the 16th, I had a place to preach. And then the next Sunday, I had another place to preach. And preachers started calling me. Then August this, I had a place to preach. And I never have been say, hey, can, you know, I say I'm available to preach, but I never said, can you get me to preach? Well, I did call Pastor Jerry. I said, Pastor Jerry, you know, I don't have, you know, I'm not pastoring. If you'd like for me to preach, he said, yes, sir, I want you to preach on, and one of those Sundays I preached here in 2015. And then I preached down at Charlotte. I interviewed it at some different churches, I interviewed a church in Virginia, and I got down to this, and me and Darnell sat over there at this little ice cream shop in Wilson, and it was Froyo. It's closed now. But I told Darnell when we came to Wilson, we were going to preach at in Rocky Mount at Gerald Parker's church, one of my little home churches where I went to Sunday school there. And I said, Darnell, I said, a church in Virginia, they want us. They want us. They've told us they want us. And I said, you don't have a job, and I don't have a job, and we've interviewed at three churches. And we got to have some money coming in because it's about to run out. And so if this church in Virginia, I said, Darnell, if you don't get a job next week, then we're going to take the church in Virginia. We'll just assume that's the will of the Lord. We've tried. We've prayed. He knows. And, you know, I did all of that. Well, a lady came in to have ice cream with us who used to attend the church here at Living Waters. And we were just talking. And she said, Darnell, she said, I work at BB&T. And I just want you to know, it was in my heart to tell you, you got a job. Whoa, I'm about to shout hallelujah. I'm about to speak in tongues. It's all right, speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Y'all Pentecostals out here. She said, you just apply. You got it. And if you don't need it but 3 months, because I know y'all looking at church, that'll give you time to find a church. Or if you need it longer, it don't matter. It's yours. I'm like, whoa. And then Brother Long had lunch with him, and he told us about a house that they had at Shiloh Church that the tenant had just moved out, and they were looking, you know, it was just empty. I said, Brother Long, you used to tell me about a house. And that one weekend, when I said 1 week and we're going to take the church in Virginia, and in 1 weekend, basically Darnell had a job and we had a house to live in Wilson, North Carolina. Let me tell you, God will take care of you in the famine. And he tells you where to go. Well, I still interviewed for churches. I interviewed Brother Ariel's church. I preached up there. A bunch of Nelms, as I said, I can't handle that. They're too hard. That's not true. They actually asked another pastor to go there, but that's another story. So I said, well, praise God. I took a job at Best Buy and every Sunday I had a place to preach. I couldn't believe it. I never, since 94, I'll just say 94 to be conservative. I have never, by God's grace, there's not one Sunday. Now there's been Sundays I've had vacation or Sundays I had a guest speaker, but there's never been a Sunday where I did not have a place to minister and preach. And I say, to God be the glory. He is worthy. It is not Ricky Nelms. It is the Lord. And he will bless in a famine. Can you say amen? Well, then I got a call from Jerry Nelson. He said, I want to come by and see you. I said, come on. And he came and talked to me and said, why don't you come here? And he told me about what the Lord was doing. And I had already knew the Lord was working at Westmoreland. But I'm going to tell you, folks, it's hard to be a lead pastor and go to associate pastor. I'm just telling you, it's just a hard thing. Not easy to do. Not easy to do. Just take my word for it, because there's a pastor's heart there. But when he talked to me, I said, no, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But all of a sudden, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was driving down Airport Boulevard. Airport. Going to take off. Amen. And I felt the release. And Darnell and I have been here for 5 years, and I intend, unless the Lord moves me, unless he speaks to me. Now, if he speaks to me, we all know that's God. If he speaks to me, but unless he tells me different, and the last word I got from the Lord, when I signed that mortgage documents in December, I think he wants me to. So I went from having nothing, no salary, no house, and praise God, all the salary has been restored. Now I own a house. I've never owned a house before, really outright, and I'm going to continue to sow in the land because I believe he's up to something in Wilson, and I believe he's up to something at Westmoreland. I believe the best is yet to come. He is on the throne. Let's work together. Let's believe that God is going to do something. Can you give him a hand of praise here tonight? I said, sow in that land. Amen. Sow in that land. And I'll tell you, I used to, when I was a lead pastor, I'd go around town and somebody would recognize, say, well, I know you. You did so-and-so's funeral. You did so-and-so's wedding. And now I go around town. I go to the post office or I go to the gym or something. You sold me an electric dryer. I was in the gym the other day and a man stopped me in the parking lot and said, you sold me a cell phone. I had a man, a tall black man came in And I got his phone number. I said, what's your phone number? I put in his phone number and it said Carlton Stevens. Well, I had been reading the paper and I knew this black gentleman by the name of Carlton Stevens had just been elected mayor in a shocking election and back a couple of weeks ago, a couple of years ago. I looked up at him. I said, Carlton Stevens. I said, are you the Carlton Stevens? He got a big laugh. He said, I said, are you the Carlton Stevens? He said, I said, let me make sure I got this right. Are you the mayor, Carlton? So I'm the mayor. I went out there and I gave him a hug. I said, listen, I know I'm a Best Buy employee, but I'm an associate pastor at Westmoreland. You at Westmoreland? Oh, I drive by that church and pastor, you'd be amazed. I feel something when I drive by that church. One day, the pastor came up and saw this big SUV. He thought it was an FBI agent out here. And he knocked on the window, and it was the mayor having his devotions in our driveway. I'm going to tell you something. Put Democrat, Republican aside. God's going to do something through Carlton Stevens and our connection with the mayor. And the other day, this man said he come to get a new cell phone. And by the way, I've totally messed up my sermon tonight. Y'all, please forgive me. But I'm going to close in the next couple hours, I promise. Amen. Since y'all are here, we might as well sow in the land. Amen. But this man came in and said, I need a new cell phone. I said, okay. And we got to talking. He said he was retiring from the police department. I said, oh, you're retiring. Yeah, how long you been at the police department? 25 years. I said, are you from Wilson? No, I'm from Pennsylvania. And he had an odd last name. His last name was Biddle, B-I-D-D-L-E. Never heard of the name Biddle before. And I told him, and he was just very nice, and he was, you know, he didn't say a lot. And I could tell he was all police officer. You know, he'd just answer short questions or whatever. But, you know, I tried to engage him a little bit and told him, I said, I know you're excited about retirement. I sure am. Blah, 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 this, that, and the other. Would you believe it wasn't probably 3 days later I picked up the newspaper and that man is now the chief. He retired to become the chief of police. You wait till I see him. I say, you remember me? No, you don't remember me. But I was the Best Buy guy that you said retired, but you didn't happen to tell me you were going to be the chief of police. And by the way, I am the associate pastor under Dr. Jerry R. Nelson at Westmoreland, and we want to work with the police chief and this city to help turn this thing around. So there's a connection with the mayor. There's a connection with that police chief. And guess who else came in just out of the blue? A nice, tall, slender black man. He walked with dignity, and he was in plain clothes, and he gave me his phone number, and his name came back, Calvin Woolard. Anybody ever heard of the sheriff of Wilson? I said, are you the Calvin? Y'all know what I'm talking about. And then the sheriff came back and he bought an iWatch from me. Let me tell you something. I don't understand why I'm where I'm at and doing what I'm doing. I don't understand why I'm at Best Buy, but I will tell you this. God knows what land you're in. And you just keep sowing because he's up to something. Westmoreland has a connection with the mayor, the police chief, the sheriff. I want you to know that's not an accident. Brother, we're going places. God is going to expand our borders. We're going beyond these four walls. We're reaching this city, and it's going to be Pentecost all the way. Jesus all the way. We're going to have to sow in the land. And finally, we got to pray in the field. Revival is praying in the field. Isaac was alone. He needed a helpmeet. It's interesting that when his soon bride came, that it was that right at the moment of his devotions. He wasn't surfing the web. He wasn't on a dating site. That'll preach. Now, I'm not against dating sites. But pray in the field. Amen. And you do have to. People say, well, I'm just waiting on God to bring the right person to me. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing. You can't findeth if you don't looketh. I looked for a wife. I was actively looking and praying when I was single. And then that one night at the Church of God when I saw Darnell walk in with the choir. Long brown hair, beautiful blue eyes. And I thought I had attended the church before. I was like, I don't know this young lady. And she's in the choir, so she's got to be involved in the church. Because I knew a lot of the church. I attended there much. So I asked them, I said, who's the lady up there in the choir? Do you remember? Well, I don't know who she is. And I knew they went to the church. And they said, well, she comes here now. I was like, who else? And I was looking for some brethren in the church that I knew. And people were leaving. And I got a little pet. I said, well, there's only one way to find out. Sister Darnell, you want to tell the rest of the story? I walked over there and I found out who she was. And we went on a date and then another date. And one of our dates, we went to hear Jimmy Swaggart in Raleigh, North Carolina in March of 1991. And I believe our first kiss was after that crusade. Thank you, Brother Swaggart. Amen. Hallelujah. That was a great service that night. Oh, I'm telling you, pray in the field. Praying in the field. Go to church. Go to revival. Get you a good woman or man of God. Amen. And Isaac was praying in the field. Somebody say, praying in the field. Notice every place he had a great move of God. It was in not a pleasant palace. It wasn't in a plush office. One was a valley. One is a field. One is a dry place. And a famine and a valley and a field. But this is exactly what this old world is to us. And really, this speaks of this world. Because one day we are going to heaven. And there's going to be streets of gold and the river of life. And as long as we're in this world, we will have tribulation. And God help us to pray. And if we're going to, and this is a picture of Christ. Christ was praying, and one day, you know, Christ prays now, and one day we, the bride, are going to be revealed to Him. And but this also speaks to us as we're praying that what Rebecca was the answer to prayer. He was incomplete. He desired something God had promised. Do you desire something God has promised? Isaac was promised a wife. He was going to have a wife, going to have children, and he had not seen it. But he prayed in the field. Let me tell you something. The greatest problem with prayer is not unanswered prayer. The greatest problem with prayer is unoffered prayer. I want you to know that the Bible says, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are and prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth in the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. Somebody say he prayed again. He didn't just pray. Isaac was praying. I know it's dry. I know you've tried it before. I know the clouds are nowhere to be found. I know circumstances and events seem to be indicated. But listen, God moved me from Smyrna in 2015. I completed my assignment there. And another man has come in and is doing great there. In fact, that man built this building here, William O'Neill, and who was the founding pastor when this was Living Waters, is now at Smyrna. But I'm where God wants me. And listen, God has you where He wants you, and He will answer your prayers. John Wesley saw an answer to prayer. He went to a city and he preached, and everybody, they got mad at him, and the crowd was about to kill him. He had an assistant with him, and they chased him into a house, and they were beating on the door, and they were going to kill the man because he was preaching holiness. His assistant got all nervous and said, "He said, John, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And he was all panicked. And John said, "We're going to pray." And John Wesley started praying, and his servant started praying. And sure enough, the door fell open after a little while, and they pulled John Wesley out, and he started preaching again, and something happened. And the crowd stopped, began to listen to what he said. Many of them turned around and got saved. And as they were leaving town, they were begging him not to leave. 1 minute they were trying to kill him. The next minute they were begging him not to leave. Friend, sow in the land. Oh, pray in the field. Reap, you shall receive a harvest. Oh, if we faint not. Oh, David prayed in 2 Samuel 7. Go home and read 2 Samuel 7. You will count 364 words that David spoke to God. God replies to David, or God actually speaks first, but The number of words God spoke was 367. The number of words David spoke was 364. My friend, God wants to talk to you, and you can talk to God. Can you say amen? Of course, it is important to establish the habit of a daily devotional time with God, but He wants more than an appointment on your schedule. He wants to be included in every activity, every conversation, every problem, and every thought. You can carry on a continuous, open-ended conversation with Him throughout your day, talking with Him about whatever you're doing or thinking at the moment. Praying without ceasing means conversing with God while shopping, driving, working, or performing any other everyday task. Can you say amen? Who's our greatest example? Not Isaac, but who? Jesus. What could Jesus do apart from prayer? Look at John 5 and 19. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. Jesus said, I can do nothing. Except He was a man of prayer. The Son of God Himself relied and prayed in the field. Oh, listen to the rest of that scripture. The Son of Man can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things He doeth, these also do the Son likewise. Jesus' ministry commenced in prayer. Did you know when Jesus got baptized, it was in a prayer meeting? In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying. The heaven was open. See, Luke adds praying. You don't see that in the other Gospels. But He commenced His ministry in prayer. His ministry not only commenced in prayer, it counted on prayer. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And when they found Him, they said unto Him, all men seek for Thee. He said unto them, let us go to the towns that I may preach there also. His ministry commenced in prayer, counted on prayer. You remember when Jesus was before Lazarus? They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus said, roll away the stone. And some people think He just said, Lazarus, come forth. But that's not what happened. That's not the sequence of events. Hallelujah. He said, listen, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was. Hey, by the way, y'all still out there? Say amen. I'm coming to a close. I promise. And Jesus, listen, they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You've heard me. Jesus' ministry continued in prayer. He didn't just say, roll away the stone, Lazarus, come forth. He said, roll away the stone. And He said, oh, Father, thank You. And I prayed. He had a prayer meeting, had a prayer encounter with God. And then, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus' ministry commenced in prayer, counted on prayer. His ministry ended in prayer, in a sense, His physical body. The last one of the last things He said was, Father, into Your hands. He died praying. Oh, that's a way to die. Because when you die praying, that guarantees a resurrection. And I'll tell you that His ministry now continues in prayer. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, He is able to save them to the uttermost, to them that come to God, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. So His ministry started and continued and ended. But now that He's resurrected, His ministry continues. He is now praying for us. He is the great high priest, and He is our Isaac, and we're going to be His bride. And I want you to know it's revival time. It is time for us to sow. It is time for us to give. It is time for us to pray in the field. Because let me turn this back around as I close. Rebecca was what Isaac needed. He needed that companionship. She speaks of revival and renewal. What the church has left her. What first love. Oh my goodness. Oh, she came as he was praying. Church, pray because revival is coming. Pray because miracles are coming. Pray the healing is coming. Pray in the field. Pray when it feels good. Pray when it doesn't feel good. Pray when you don't see it. One minute he's out there praying and there's nothing. But all of a sudden, he's out there praying and far off the horizon, I see it. Something's coming. Tell somebody it's on the way. Tell somebody it's on the way. It's not going to be much longer. It's on the way. Pray in the field. It's on the way. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Stand with me, Brother Quentin, if you'll come and play something on the piano tonight. I do want a revival. I do want to see it. Thank God for my great-grandmother. Thank God for Pastor Jerry and these 75-year-old and plus. Praise God, I want to see it for every age. Amen? No one is a firmer believer in the practice of prayer than the devil. Not that he practices it, but that he suffers from it. Amen? Martin Luther said, if I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much business, I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer. Wow. There's no power like that of prevailing prayer, of Abraham pleading for Sodom, Jacob wrestling in the stillness of the night, Moses standing in the breach, Hannah intoxicated with sorrow, David heartbroken with remorse and grief, Jesus in sweat of blood. And to this list from the records of the church, your personal observation and experience, and always there is the cost of passion unto blood. Such prayer prevails. It turns ordinary mortals into men of power. It brings power. It brings fire. It brings rain. It brings life. It brings God. Samuel Chadwick. And I pray tonight that you'll have a heart of Isaac. And that you'll unstop those wheels, that you'll sow in the land, and that you'll pray in the field. Father, tonight, as we close this service tonight, Lord, we would fail you, God, as Brother Quentin starts to play. Lord, we would fail you tonight if we didn't believe you for the impossible, if we didn't believe to see the improbable. Thank you for the miracles that are happening, and thank you for what's coming. Somebody needs to embrace the new season. Somebody needs to know that it's coming. Somebody needs to keep praying in the field until something happens. There are events happening long before you started praying. And you might be in that valley. You might be in that field. You might be in that clogged up well. But something's happening tonight. I want you to all over the building tonight, lift your hands to God and say something's coming. Anticipate it. Embrace it tonight. The miracle is coming. The child getting saved is coming. The church growing is coming. Hallelujah. New souls being saved is coming. And it's not far down the road. Just keep praying in the field. The answer to that prayer, it is coming. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Can we step out of our seat tonight? Come on out of your seat tonight. Let's close in prayer at the altar. COVID-19, I believe, is going to be cursed in this building tonight. But you can social distance if you feel comfortable. But come on tonight. Some of you need to pray tonight. You just simply need to call out to God tonight. Lord, what am I facing? What am I going through? Why is this happening? Just keep praying in the field. I said, don't get off the field. The game's not over. Hallelujah. Your prayers are going to give the devil damage. Children are going to be saved out of these prayers tonight. Sick bodies are going to be healed out of this prayer tonight. You pray tonight in the field. You may be down to something, but my God is up to something. Hallelujah. You may be down to nothing, I should say, but God is up to everything. I proclaim victory. I proclaim the chains are broken tonight. Oh, it's coming. Hallelujah. I said it's coming. I didn't know it was coming. 1 year ago, I didn't know I'd be owning a house. Oh, but it came. Hallelujah. It's there. I'm going home to it tonight. Oh, the Lord is in this place. I didn't know God bring me back to Wilson. But he brought me back because it's coming. I didn't know I'd meet the police chief. I didn't know I'd meet the sheriff. I didn't know I'd meet the mayor. But it's coming, praise God. There's something happening. There's something stirring in the air. God is up to something. Oh, Lord, we anticipate at Westmoreland Church, God. More. There's more. Say that with me. There's more. There's more. Say it again. There's more at Westmoreland. It's in our DNA. We're not satisfied with just a little bit. And that bride is an answer to prayer. Oh, it's more exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or do. It's coming. I said it's coming. It's coming. Hallelujah. Do you believe that it's coming? Sister, do you believe, Sister Judy? I'm telling you, it is coming. What God has promised. And I thank you for it tonight. I thank you for it tonight. Whatever you're praying for, don't you settle for less. If you're single, don't you settle for less. You ask God that that right person comes. Oh, if you're married tonight, don't you give up on that marriage. Don't you give up on that marriage. I said the best time is coming. Every marriage goes through a valley. Every marriage goes through the field. Every marriage goes through some clogged up wells. But you keep on trusting God. He wants to bless in that marriage. He wants to do exceedingly and abundantly. You stay where you are. You get planted. You get rooted. Don't resign. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't go back. You keep going forward. I said, keep going forward. I don't see the enemy going back. I don't see Hollywood toning it down. I don't see that political party saying, well, we'll just give up for a while. I see them going faster and harder than ever for the souls of this nation. But we as a church, we got to pray in that field, praise God. These aren't the best of times, but praise God, they're not the worst of times. Amen. Because as long as the church is in this world, we're going to have a revival if we want it. Can you give him a hand of praise here tonight? Well, I didn't mean to give you all my biography tonight. I really didn't. I had no idea I was going to say some of those things tonight. But I feel like the Lord has got some exciting things in store for Westmoreland. Amen? Amen. Are you convinced? Are you going to pray in the field? Amen? Friday night prayer meeting. Other times if you can't make it, praying in the field. I do want us to pray for Don Vic tonight. His son Dylan's going to have a piece put in him to that will stop these seizures. And do we want to go ahead and get Dylan from the youth group and pray with him tonight? Because somebody retrieved Dylan, Brother Elam, a good 70-year-old man. Go get that teenager, amen. Brother Elam, COVID tried to get you. The devil tried that heart, but the best is yet to come, amen. You know what? If I were over 70, this would be the church I'd want to join. It's like there's a spirit of youth in this house. Praise God. People come in with, amen, backaches and wheelchairs, and they walk away. Amen. Yeah, good things. Renews our youth like the eagle. Y'all act more like 50, and I act more like 25. Amen. I'll be 50 this year, the Lord willing. Amen. God's good. Amen. I want revival. I long for it. I'm not satisfied. Amen. Amen. Trust and obey. There's no other way. While we're getting Dylan, can you linger just a few minutes? Brother Quentin, bless us with one of those good soul songs for me. Amen. And some good things are coming for you, brother. Keep your integrity. Stay humble and stay pure. Because the Lord, He's got it. He's coming. Some answers to prayer are coming. Pray in the field. Stay at Waffle House until He opens another door. And serve up that syrup and that butter and those waffles. And just know you're in the field, but it's coming. Amen? Go ahead and sing, brother. Amen. Come on up, Bill.